Great to see everyone tonight.
I was buried beneath my shame.
It's your breath in our lungs.
God all the glory tonight.
Well, this morning I had a surprise. As many of you know, I do some social media stuff, and when I was going through and checking my social media, I pulled up TikTok to find that I had been banned. I said, well, okay. What did I do? Well, I went back and looked, and it just so happened that I had put out a post that exposed the devil and the distraction that he's doing in this world. And it said that was, I'd stolen that, and that was unoriginal, and they were banning my content. I said, well, okay. If that's the way it's going to be, that's the way it'll be. Now, that's not much persecution. It's very little persecution. But tonight, we're going to look at what it looks like to not let somebody steal your worship, even in the face of death. Because I'm not trying to be a doomsday guy, and I think y'all would agree that I don't get up here in doomsday every Sunday and Wednesday, but guys, it ain't looking better. I'm just being honest. When you look around at the world, it's looking worse and worse and worse. We will always be faced with the temptation to compromise our faith to gain or keep things in this world. Keeping and living out our faith by God's strength, notice that's key, by God's strength, is the only path forward for us as Christians. Tonight, we're going to look at Daniel as a faithful example for each and every one of us to follow. He was a Jewish exile in Babylon when we get to the book of Daniel. He has been positioned by God in political leadership. And ironically, he is completely despised by all the evil leaders that he's surrounded by. As the world continues to fall further from God, we will find ourselves in varying degrees of this same position. That's why I think it's so applicable in 2026 today. I'm not saying that we're going to get to the same spot that Daniel's in, but we need to be prepared to be there. And I think tonight can prepare us for success in navigating the days ahead. Daniel 6 shows us that the world doesn't just oppose our beliefs. It doesn't merely oppose them. It targets your worship. First truth we have tonight is true worship will always set you apart from the world. True worship will always set you apart from the world. Look there in verse 1 of Daniel chapter 6. It seemed good to Darius to appoint 120 satraps over the kingdom, that they would be in charge of the whole kingdom. And over them, three commissioners, of whom Daniel was one, that these satraps might be accountable to them, and that the king might not suffer loss. The king develops, basically, if you look at it, a political leadership structure. He's at the top as king. He's got three commissioners under him, and then he's got 120 satraps all up under them. The goal for setting up this leadership structure, it tells us right here, is to maximize the profits and to minimize loss. That's a good business plan. Daniel functions in the top three. King and Daniel is one of the next in charge. Look there in verse 3. Then this Daniel began distinguishing himself among the commissioners and satraps because he possessed an extraordinary spirit. And the king planned to appoint him over the entire kingdom. Daniel is faithful. Daniel has an extraordinary spirit of God, from God. He conducts himself so well in this position that the king wants to lift him up out of the three and make him over everybody. Look at verse 4. Then the commissioners and satraps begin trying to find a ground of accusation against Daniel in regard to government affairs. But they could find no ground of accusation or evidence of corruption, inasmuch as he was faithful and no negligence or corruption was to be found in him. That's a pretty nice little resume. I mean, they looked at everything that he did in his day-to-day from a government affair and they found nothing. They couldn't blackmail him. So that's a good word for us as Christians today. He set a good example in the workplace. Should we be good in the workplace? Should we give a good day's work? Should we do the best that we can do in what we're called to do? Absolutely. But evil enters the scene. Pride and jealousy take over these other leaders. They desire to take Daniel down, but they can find no fault. Daniel's faithfulness to God made him faithful to leadership. That benefited the king. And the king recognized that. Faithfulness to God and the king simultaneously caused problems with these evil and corrupt leaders, though. Proverbs 21:15 shows us this. The exercise of justice is joy for the righteous, but is terror to workers of iniquity. Evil will always want to eliminate righteousness. They can't stand it. It's like oil and water. They can't be together. Fast forward to Jesus, and we just see the same truth in John 3:19 and 20. This is the judgment, that the light has come into the world, and men love the darkness rather than the light, for their deeds were evil. For everyone who does evil hates the light and does not come to the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. So what does evil think of the light? What's the word? It hates it. For us to think any different, this is what Jesus taught us. For us to think or expect any different is just crazy. He tried to show us why. They don't want their evil deeds to be exposed. Ironically, they don't want to cease from their evil deeds so that they don't have any problem. Rather, they'd rather keep doing their evil deeds and not have the light shine on them and expose them. Are we faithful to God in our workplaces? That's the question for each and every one of you tonight. Are you faithful to God in your workplace? Are you shining the light of Christ in your workplace no matter what? Are you notably, observably faithful to what you've been called to? And here's another one. Do your workers, co-workers, know that you're a Christian? Not because you wear a t-shirt, but because they know. They hear you talking about Jesus. They see you following Jesus. They hear you sharing the gospel. They know because they're just around you. They can see the light shining through you. And if not, hey, nobody's coming down on you, but there's an opportunity. They knew who Daniel was. They saw his faithfulness, and it's fixing to be compounded even more. I want to be faithful like Daniel in whatever position I'm in. I would be happy for somebody to look at me and give these accolades. So what can we do? Be faithful to God in your workplace. Know that evil will hate your faithfulness. And let this mark, this hatred of your faithfulness, be a mark of comfort and not refrain. Because if you take it the other way, it's going to lead you to try, it's going to tempt you to be less faithful. Strive to not let that be a discouragement to you. The second truth is that the evil develops a trap for the faithful. Look there in verse 5. Then these men said, "We will not find any ground of accusation against this Daniel unless we find it against him with regard to the law of his God." They couldn't blackmail him. They couldn't find a way to show that he wasn't faithful from a government perspective. So they went to what they knew they could catch him in. And ironically, where is it? His faith. His faithfulness to God. They said, if we can get, he will not compromise in any other way, but if we can somehow get him with the law of God, we'll have him right there. Look at verse 6. We're going to go ahead and read verse 6 through 9 together. Then these commissioners and satraps came by agreement to the king and spoke to him as follows. King Darius, look at this. I love this. Can you see this? Just let's put your spiritual imagination on. Let's go in the room. Let's go in the parade with these evil people as they go into the king. And watch what they do. I love it. Just here we go. Oh, King Darius, oh, live forever. All the commissioners of the kingdom, the prefects and the satraps, the high officials and the governors have consulted together that the king should establish a statute and enforce an injunction that anyone who makes a petition to any god or man besides you, O king, for 30 days shall be cast into the lion's den. Now, O king, establish the injunction and sign the document so that it may not be changed according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, which may not be revoked. Therefore, King Darius, sign the document, that is the injunction. The evil leaders knew that Daniel believed in God. They knew that he served God, and they knew that he prayed to God. They put their faith in that Daniel would get caught because he would refuse to compromise his. That's where they put their faith, in Daniel's faithfulness. We should be found worshiping God throughout the day. Does anybody agree with that? We should live our lives so that we can continually worship God at any moment in time. Unfortunately, and I'm going to speak for myself, I do not always make decisions which allow me to continually worship. I I used to cuss like a sailor. It was just second language, just being honest with you. Guess how many times I shared the gospel and talked about the Word of God around those who I use that language around? Zero. I was making that decision to talk in that way, so therefore could I worship and share the gospel? I was putting a barrier up to doing that. I used to go places and live like the devil with certain folks in certain circles. Guess how often I talk to them about Jesus? I want to hold up the same number. You can't worship like that. Sharing the gospel is part of our worship. And when we make these decisions to put ourselves in these places, we're limiting our ability to worship. We got to position ourselves so that we can continually worship. So go into this trap. A question, I want you to all, we're just going to stop for just a second. I want to ask you a question. It's a simple question. Are you willing to hide your faith for 30 days? It's just 30 days, guys. I mean, a month? It's not that big of a deal. You got 11 more months. Can we just not talk about Jesus, not go to church, not worship at all, not look like a Christian for 30 days? Are we willing to do that? That's all they were asking. That's the trap. That's all Daniel had to do was just go 31 days before he prayed again. And he could have kept his position. Everything would have been fine. No worries. The evil leaders knew that they did not have to make this contract for a year to trap Daniel. I'm confident in this, and now this is me putting into this. I'm just going to be honest. I don't think they had to make the contract for more than 12 hours. 30 days is an overshot. I think if the contract would have been for 12 hours, Daniel would have still been in the trap. But if we love our life and we love the things of this world, we're going to struggle to not compromise on a 30-day hiding of our faith. Matthew 16:26 says this, "For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul?" That's a choice we've all got to make. Each and every one of us are accountable to that choice. When Peter and the apostles were arrested for worshiping through sharing the gospel, they did not stop when they were arrested. Acts 5:29, "But Peter and the apostles answered, 'We must obey God rather than men. Arrest us. We choose to be faithful to God.'" God, but why did they? How could they say that? Because God was their ultimate authority. And guess who else he should be the ultimate authority for? Me and you. How can we do this? This isn't a self-help, cinch your boots down. We can't do it alone. 30 days, 12 hours, or a year, we're not going to do it alone. We're going to have to do it in God's strength. John 15:5 shows us how we can continually worship. Jesus says, "I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing." Thank you, brother. So what do we have to do? Do we have to work harder in our own strength? No. We got to abide in Jesus, in the vine. That's the only way we're going to do it. Continually position yourself in Christ's footsteps. Have you ever thought about it like that? My simple mind has to think about it like that. Because Jesus tells us to follow Him. And when you follow somebody, they're right in front of you. And if you look down, if you're walking in the dirt or in the mud or walking in the sand down on the beach, you can see their footsteps. Abiding in him is literally trying to, okay, Jesus put his foot right there. That's where I'm going to put my foot. Jesus took the next step. I'm going to put it right there. And I tell you what, if we could do that, I know that's a metaphor, but if we could do that in living out our faith for him, I think we'd be in pretty good shape. We've got to embrace the fact that evil does not want you around. Embrace that evil will develop traps against you. It sure did against Daniel. And we've got to build daily habits that make compromise harder. There's some things that just don't need to be in the house. There's some places that I don't need to go. And when I go there, what am I doing? I'm opening the door to fail. Sometimes just stay away. If you know you're going to struggle there, if you know you're not going to be able to worship there, don't go. Just don't go. Set times of prayer. If you don't have that and you've been failing to pray, tonight as you leave, write it down. Say, tomorrow, I'm not going to fail. Tomorrow at 9 a.m., I'm praying. And then at 1 p.m., I'm going to pray again. And then at 5 p.m., because I may fall asleep before 10, at 5 p.m., I'm going to pray again. And fulfill it. Write it down and fulfill it if you're having trouble with that. Guard your influences. What is influencing you? Guard it. If you know it's going to take you in the wrong direction, don't let it in. Don't invite it into your phone. Don't invite it into your TV. Don't invite it into your house. And be visibly Christian where you live and work. Likely it's your greatest mission field. You don't have to go to Brazil. I guarantee there's lost people that probably sit in the cubicle next to you every day. Our third truth is faithfulness in spite of the threat of death. Now, this is tough. I actually stopped and prayed right here as I was writing this sermon. Because I'm not pretending that I'm something that I'm not. I'm not pretending that if somebody came in here and held me up right now, that I would just be like, yes. Now I will if God props me up. But if it's up to Philip, ooh, that could go a couple of different directions. I may be 44, but I'm still pretty quick when I need to be. Verse 10 says, now when Daniel knew that the document was signed, he entered his house. Now in his roof chamber, he had windows open towards Jerusalem. And he continued kneeling on his knees 3 times a day, praying and giving thanks before his God as he had been doing previously. Daniel became aware of the sign trap. It wasn't a secret. He knew about it. He knew that was a death warrant. I don't see Daniel. It doesn't note it that he goes up to the roof, wringing his hands, mad at God, complaining. It says that he went up there and gave thanks to God. He goes up to the most prominent place that you can see him. He's up on the roof. He doesn't hide in the middle of his house or in the basement. He goes up to the roof where everybody can see him. He goes to a window, and right there, for anybody that wanted to come by 3 times a day, Daniel's going to be there doing exactly what the law just told him that he couldn't. Verse 11, then these men came by agreement and found Daniel making petition and supplication before his God. Well, the trap worked perfectly. Daniel's caught breaking the law they had created, but only, it's so crazy, how did he break the law? By being faithful to God. Daniel feared God more than death. We can become convinced that our life here on earth is the priority. And I'm not saying you shouldn't love your life and live the life God's got. That's not what I'm talking about. But when it weighs in the balance to our faithfulness, our life can really weigh a lot. But Daniel sets his priority in correct order. He lets God outweigh his desire for life. Jesus taught the same in John 12, 25 through 26. He who loves his life loses it, and he who hates his life in this world will keep it to life eternal. If anyone serves me, he must follow me, and where I am, there my servant will be also. If anyone serves me, my Father will honor him. Yet we have a choice. We can love life in the world. We can hate life in the world for Jesus, for the life that he's called us to. The world is good at convincing you to choose it. Boy, it has convinced me time and time again. And I'm sure I haven't experienced the last time that it will convince me. You know who else the world convinced one time? A man named Judas. Let's revisit that and see how it turned out for him. Matthew 27, 3 through 5. Then when Judas, who had betrayed him, Jesus, saw that he had been condemned, he felt remorse, and he returned the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and the elders, saying, I have sinned by betraying innocent blood. But they said, what is this to us? See to that yourself. And he threw the pieces of silver into the temple sanctuary, and he departed, and he went away, and he hanged himself. Do you think the devil and the world talked to him about the end of that when they were talking to him about the 30 pieces at the beginning of it? You see, that's the way the devil works. He loves to tell you about the beginning. He loves to tell you about the good things. He don't want to disclose all the remorse. He don't want to talk about how it's going to feel once you make the commitment. He was so remorseful that he thought there was nothing else he could do besides hang himself. That's a pretty bad shape. To ask if we will be faithful in the face of physical death is hypothetical and probably not helpful. I mean, we can all tonight say, yeah, I'll be faithful. I think a better question is, do you desire Christ over the things of this world? And I think that'll answer the rest of the questions. What do we desire the most? Do we desire Christ? Or do we desire this world? We've got to live out our faith in spite of the worldly consequences. We don't know what we're going to face. I don't know what I'm going to face. But I think we need to be ready to face some challenges. What did Jesus promise us? In this world you will have... Nobody? Hey, trouble. Consider what is at the heart of your unwillingness to live out your faith if you're struggling with that. What is it? What is at the heart of not living out your faith like we see this example of Daniel tonight? And weigh that cost. Is it worth your faithfulness or is it not? Will you allow the world to steal your worship? Evil has always hated righteousness. And if you have the righteousness of Christ, you need to be ready. You're an enemy to the world. For the believers in here tonight, will you worship God openly or will you quietly agree to keep Him private? The question for us is not if a law will be signed. The question is what you are going to do if it is. What if Trump signs a law? No praying to Jesus for 30 days. What are we going to do? That sounds crazy. Y'all looking at me like I'm crazy. That's what happened. Can it not happen again? We got to be prayed up daily for strength. Every day, be praying for strength, because we never know what we're going to face. Non-believers in here today, it really comes down to what we just talked about, and you still have the decision to choose. I think Jesus Christ is still in the salvation business. Up to this point, if you've not chosen Jesus, you've chosen the world. But tonight, you can choose Jesus in a relationship with Him through faith, through confession of Jesus Christ as Lord, and you can have salvation. I want to be like Daniel. I want to continue to worship God regardless if there's traps, regardless if there's harmful plans of an unbelieving world. And I hope you want the same thing.